In Luke chapter 19 is the next parable that I'd like to cover. And this particular parable, Jesus Christ, right at the beginning of the teaching here, he starts to tell you exactly what this parable is about. It says in verse 11, "And as they heard these things, he added, and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." Our Lord and Savior is going to speak this particular parable to them for those two reasons. And this is a very common belief among Christians. Actually, there's several very common beliefs among Christians. One is that the kingdom of God has already come. It is present at this time. The other one is that you must bring to pass the kingdom to God as a Christian. The other one is that our Lord has already come and these things had happened during 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and so forth. There is very different theology out there about the kingdom, when it is to come, how it's to come, so forth. I'm not going to try to cover with you all the different things other people believe. What I want you to see from the scriptures is I want you to see that what our Lord wanted people to see was that the kingdom, they thought it was going to come immediately. And he wanted to make sure that they understood that it was not coming immediately. This is just before, he speaks this just before he enters into Jerusalem. And they hail him as king. And they lay down the palms for Palm Sunday. And the whole reason for that entrance into Jerusalem was that they would accept him as the king of the Jews. And they said, "Hosanna in the highest." And they celebrated him as being king of the Jews. The Pharisees got very upset with that. But the point was, this was prophesied that this would happen. But they thought that the commencement of the kingdom would follow immediately. And that's why he speaks this parable to them. And he says in verse 12, and he says, "Therefore, certain noblemen went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called the 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass, when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man hath gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And to the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came and said, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that which I laid not down, and reaping that which I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury, with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoke, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. This particular parable, he spake to them for two reasons. And let's go back to that in verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added, and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem. He was going up to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he gives them this parable. The kingdom of God is like this story. It should be understood. It's just like this. There's a man, a nobleman. He goes to get the kingdom. And it takes him a while. In the meantime, he hands everything to his servants, to 10 servants. He distributes his stuff so that his business is taken care of. When he comes back with the kingdom, he's going to have an accounting with his servants, and not only his servants, but also with all those who have rejected him from reigning over them, who don't want him to be king over them. And he's going to destroy those people. He's either going to reward or he's going to judge the stewardship of those people who were servants to him, how they handled his affairs. That is what the Lord teaches, and it was specifically so that you understand that the kingdom of God and all that he's been talking about is not happened yet. It's not happened yet. From the other parables that we've covered in the class, some of which should give you a tremendous idea. When you start to put the parables together, you can start to get a real beautiful picture of not just this one, because if this one is not clear to you, there are other ones that sort of like they start to build a pattern, build a picture in your own mind and in your own heart so that you can understand. Go back to Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the tares. A similar teaching, different because it's not talking about this particular parable. It's not talking about or trying to explain that the kingdom is not going to happen immediately. This one just gives you the very big overall picture. And in the parable of the tares, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is like this. It's just like a farmer who sows good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and that's what we're starting to see now, it's springtime, all these plants are starting to spring up. When the blade was sprung up, then appeared the tares also, and the tares of the weeds. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Beautiful story. Very, very wonderful, simple parable. This, the kingdom of God, is just like this. It's like a farmer who sows good seed in his field. He goes to sleep, his enemy comes around, and he starts throwing around weed seeds. Jesus Christ gives them a much more detailed explanation when they are asked. And he says in verse 36, his men asked him to declare unto them the parable of the tares. In verse 36 says, and when Jesus had sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They wanted deeper understanding of this simple, beautiful parable. This is like that. But they didn't get the deeper meaning. They knew there was more to it. And actually, as you and I read it, I'm sure, you know, for the first time when you read it, I'm sure you can say, well, I wonder what all that means, you know, as far as how does this relate to the kingdom of God? Verse 37, and he answered and said unto them, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. He tells you who he is. The man of the house, the farmer, he's the Son of Man, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Those that are the good seed, that's the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the age, at the end of the world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. When does the kingdom commence? The kingdom commences. There's two parables that we've looked at so far. The Lord said it's not going to happen right away. He's going to go in Luke 19. He's going to go into a far country and return. He's going to give his goods to his servants so that they steward it while he's gone. And then there's going to be an accounting. Well, in the parable of the tares, also, there is a time. There is a time when things will be separated out, when evil will be done away, when those who do it, all those things that offend and are iniquity, that will be taken care of. Has that been taken care of yet? Not the way I look out the window. And have the children of God, the righteous, shine forth as the sun yet? Not at all. I'm not enjoying the kingdom at the moment. We are his people who have been given the stewardship and the responsibilities that the Lord has given us. When he left, he said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. That is what he's given us to do. That's the job. That's what we're to be doing until he returns. When he returns, that is when I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ told us that the kingdom, as far as the governmental kingdom, will commence. Right now, he also said that the kingdom of God, if you look at it here, go back to chapter 13 of Matthew and verse 31. He tells us in the parables, and I understand why so many Christians believe that the kingdom of God has commenced already, is because in this particular parable, it would give you that understanding. But you need to look at them all. You can't just say, well, this is the way it is from one. You need to look at them all, and you need to reckon in your own heart and mind the bigger picture of what the Lord is speaking. In verse 31, it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it's like the smallest, tiniest seed, a grain of mustard seed. It's really super small. But it becomes one of the greatest plants, one of the greatest herbs, almost a tree. I mean, not a big tree as in a redwood, but it's a big tree compared to all the other herbs. And the birds of the air, a lot of things dwell in it, but it starts out tiny. And there's a process of growth. This process of growth doesn't, in other words, everything doesn't dwell in this immediately. It takes time. There is coming a day when the kingdom is going to be overall, when everything is going to dwell within it. But that day has not happened yet. So it's very important when you read the parables that you don't take one over others. You need to take them all. You need to take what the Lord Jesus Christ taught in all of the places and bring it together to build the picture. Again, let me show you another place where he spoke. Go to Matthew chapter 24. And we're specifically talking about, when does this kingdom commence? After our Lord and Savior teaches the great chapter 24, actually we read the chapter 24, but he teaches concerning the events of the coming age. Because his disciples had asked him, when are all these things going to happen? When is the end? When is it going to be? And he gives us in chronological order in Matthew chapter 24 the events that are going to happen. And he says in verse 27, he says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." It's going to be like lightning shoots across the sky. It's not going to be... Again, so many Christians believe the fictional books that are printed of Left Behind series. I'm sure they're very entertaining, but it's not the Bible. It's not going to be a secret gathering. It's going to be an event. When he comes, it's going to be like lightning goes from one end to the other. It's not going to be a secret little thing. "For wheresoever the carcass is, the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, which he spoke to us previously, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give forth her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." This is not going to be a secret event. I have not seen, nor has been recorded in history, the coming of the Son of Man in power and in glory as of yet. Verse 31, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to another." He is going to send them out. Does this not sound... Now, this is not a parable. These are statements. The parable was, you got to wait for the reapers. Jesus Christ said in the explanation of the parable of the tares that those are the angels. Here again, the angels are going to separate out those that are God's and those that aren't. But again, this particular statement isn't a parable. But you can see clearly that evil has not been done away with. It's not squelched yet. The kingdom of God is still. The only place it resides right now is in your heart. You're the only one who's ruled by it. Those who believe are ruled by the king. Not everybody. There is a day coming when he does come back that those who hate him are going to be ruled by him. And if they stand against him, they're going to be destroyed. You're not going to have much of a choice. No choice at all, as far as the people of the earth are concerned. Some folks don't like that. Well, it's just the way it is. Matthew chapter 25, again, after he speaks several parables about his return and what's going to happen, these statements are made. In verse 31, it says, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goat on his left. Then shall the king say unto them that are on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Is he sitting on his throne in glory? And have we been separated out? And have we inherited the kingdom yet? My understanding of my life and the knowledge of the Word of God that I have, the answer is no. I think it's somewhat easy to see, but let's continue. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Now, I'm sure that there are those that are out there that would say to me, well, how do you know he didn't return already? And I would say to them that the prophecies of what he said would happen when the kingdom commenced have not happened. Those things have not happened yet. Evil has not been squelched. It hasn't been taken away. So many other things have not happened yet. So to me, personally, in my study, in my reading of the Bible, this is how I see it. Now, I could certainly, I don't say any longer or think any longer. I'm not foolish enough to say I got all the answers. No. But I do have a very good general picture. I don't have all the details. But as long as I can read the Bible itself and read what's written. See, in order to go the other way, you have to make everything else that's written in the Bible figurative. I really believe that most of the Bible is literal. And there's the difference. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul talking about our lives here and the suffering that we go through, the tribulation that we go through that was spoken of in Matthew chapter 24. He also speaks of it here, and it says, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure." The churches endure persecution, tribulation, sometimes more, sometimes less, "which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense, to pay back tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. For when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels or messengers in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Again, has that day happened? Has any such recorded event happened ever in history that gives you any indication that that day has already happened? Not to my understanding. But I'm telling you, there's millions and millions of people who believe otherwise. There's hundreds of thousands that believe he already came way back when. There are still many who believe the kingdom is present today. But the only place that it's present is in the hearts of those who believe, his servants, the ones who are stewarding his stuff, waiting for what Jesus Christ said is the commencement of the kingdom to come. And there's a difference. Yes, I believe that the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. I do believe what he said, that it's within you. But that there's a difference in the kingdom that he is speaking of as an event, that this great coming of the Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where he will separate out and deal with the evil, that has not come yet. And that's what he was talking about in Luke chapter 19. Let's go to another place here. It's the book of Acts, when Peter, after the day of Pentecost, stands up. Acts chapter 2. When he stands up and he's speaking to those Jews who are at the temple that day, he's speaking to thousands and thousands of them, and what he speaks, he quotes from the book of Joel, because they're criticizing what they see on Pentecost. Peter starts and he speaks of that which the prophet Joel spoke of. In verse 16 it says, "But this is that," talking about the events that happened at Pentecost, "when the Spirit was poured out, they heard them speak in tongues out loud. They were all wondering what's going on. And then they started to laugh at them, saying, these guys are all drunk. They're filled with new wine. And Peter stood up with the others and he says, these men are not drunk as you suppose." And then he quotes them here in verse 16. "But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The reason why anyone on this earth has the privilege to come to salvation, all they need to do in these last days, and the last days commenced on the day of Pentecost, according to the prophecy of Joel. The last days, we've been in these last days for over 2,000 years. And it would start with God pouring out of his Spirit on all flesh. And you know what? A lot more people than 12 received the Spirit of God that day. The 12 commenced with it. But then many, many more, it says 3,000 believed what they heard that day, and they also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. From this particular prophecy, you know, where, and by the way, the Spirit in the Old Testament, before the day of Pentecost, it was poured out on one individual here, one individual there, and that person was to teach and to make known the will of God to the rest of the people. That was a significant difference. Today, every single one of his people has his Spirit to lead them and to guide them and to help them. Back then, you had a Moses, a Joshua, a Deborah, who would get the information and teach the people, school the people, guide the people, tell the people, command the people. But they didn't have access, every single one, to the Father. Now we do. There's a significant difference of what's happened after Pentecost. Then it says, and it gives you a sense, if you look at this prophecy, everything didn't happen the first day. The last days, this is the commencement, Spirit is poured out. Along the time of these last days, there's going to be happen. And you're going to see wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vaporous smoke. In Matthew 24, it speaks of earthquakes and all kinds of other things that are going to happen specifically. This just says it in a different way. I haven't seen the sun be turned to darkness yet, but the day is going to come. It says in Revelation that the sun is going to be dimmed by 1/3. That'll be significant. Before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. Before his return. That's the great and notable day of the Lord. See, the Bible tells you, if you really, really, really want to know. But it also, for those who are just casual readers of the Bible, they would read these same verses and would not necessarily put them together with all the other ones that they've read. If you really want to know, it's pretty plain to see. If you're really concerned to see it, God will show it to you. But otherwise, for years, there was a time when I'd pick up the Bible like this and I'd look at it and I'd say, what's this all about? And there's a huge difference. How you hear. Remember in the parables, Jesus Christ said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Because it's how you hear. It's how you choose to read it. It's what attitude you come to the scriptures with that make all the difference in the world. And it says, in those days the sun shall be turned to darkness before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. And at this moment, during this time, during these last days, when his Spirit is poured out and before these last events happen, anyone who calls upon his name will be saved. Anybody. But there is a day when that comes to an end. When he returns. And many more of the parables laid out the fact that there is an ending of this grace. There is a time when the steward will have to give an account. There is a moment where the reckoning will take place. And persons have to choose before that day of reckoning. Do you have any questions about this particular parable?